Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. I was conflicted as to what I should play coming out of that break. Love me some Bone Crusher, Never Scared, but Jeff Traxler with Mega Championship Wrestling is here in studio with us, and I've got a wide variety of different wrestling songs I can play as well, so I was a little confused as to which one to go with, but I think you really can't go wrong with either one. And, well, very clearly, my friend, you guys have made a lot of right decisions over the last two decades. You guys, on Saturday night, are going to have the 20th edition of Night of Champions.
That's right.
That's a benchmark, and you guys certainly need to be applauded and congratulated making it 20 years business.
It's been an interesting ride, to say the least.
I believe that. and I want to go all the way back 20 years, right?
All
so we're talking 1998.
1998,
and Steve and I were talking about this before you got in studio. You think about the wrestling climate in 1998 and just how huge it was at the time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Full disclosure here, and I told this story the other day. I got into wrestling the complete backwards way. I would never recommend anybody doing this, but I thought, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm not very athletic, but, you know, I could probably organize these shows. You know, I knew a few wrestlers at the time. You know, I could probably get this together. I had good credit, you know. And the very first event that I ever ran drew a whopping 31 people. So just advice out there to anyone that says, you know what, I'm gonna be a wrestling promoter and I'm going to make all kinds of money. I wouldn't count on it right out of the box. So
it takes time, man. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
I remember the one wrestling event that I was kind of sort of a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I was the ring announcer.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine, and it was right around the same time you guys began this thing 20 years ago. And I remember the guy that I worked with, the primary promoter, he said, I have no idea what to expect. He said, yeah, I spent a lot of money promoting this. I spent a lot of money putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with a group of talent that was up in the Michigan area.
Okay.
And he brought them down to Cleveland, the eastern suburbs. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to get 10 people. I don't know if I'm going to get 30 people. I don't know if I'm going to get 300 people out of this. I really have no idea. And I know that, you know, people outside the wrestling business, they don't get that concern or that struggle because unless you've been a part of that, you know, you just don't know the nerves that go into that particular
day. Every time. It's you know, I'm not a gambling guy, but I, you know, you could say that every time we put on an event, there's a gamble to it.
Sure.
Because you don't know. You book the talent and the talent has to get paid, and whether those people show up or not, you have to take care of those people. So, I mean, you hope and you roll the dice, literally, that they're going to show up, and you do everything you can to get them there. Like I was saying to you guys before we went on the air, you know, we've tried to hit all the avenues this time around. We had our commercials playing during the WWE programming the last couple weeks, and it seems to be reaching people. So, I mean, we hope all of our fans that are always there show up, and we hope that we're going to gain a lot of new ones that we can show them the talent that we have and get them to come back again. And that's what we have to do every single time to build on that.
Now, I'm not 100% familiar with the wrestling circuits locally on the local level. Obviously, I followed it during most of my life on the large level. But is it fairly common? You said you have wrestlers kind of coming in from all over the place. Mm-hmm. Is it common that some of these wrestlers have groups of people that they follow that follow them, so that maybe if you book X wrestler, they have 10 people that normally come and watch him wrestle, or, you know, so on and so forth. Is that part of that type of circuit?
Oh, definitely. Like now in the age of social media and everybody's plugged in all the time. Absolutely. Because a wrestler can go on their Twitter or Instagram or whatever and say, hey guys, I'm going to be in Cleveland, I'm going to be in Elyria, I'm going to be in Detroit, you know, come out to the show. And people do, you know, I like what this guy or girl brings to the table, and they're going to go see him and they follow him. Absolutely.
So in essence, kind of talk about, I guess, that blows my mind, actually. I wasn't even thinking about it, but it makes total sense. 20 years ago, we didn't have Twitter and Facebook,
no.
et cetera. So how has that changed your business with the, you know, even in 98, the internet was there for 5-6 years, but it wasn't huge the way that it is now. Everything's instantaneous.
Right.
What has that done for your business?
Definitely, nowadays it's more instant contact. You know, I can put something out and say this is going on today. Like today, hey, we're going to be on WEOL. You know, everybody sees that follows us, and they know to tune in. When I started, you didn't really have those avenues. You had to get out to radio. You had to get on TV. You had to get into the newspaper. You had to go put flyers out around local businesses, which we still do.
Sure.
But it's the social media has changed it so much. I mean, even in the last five years, you know, five or 10 years ago, even if you would have said, oh, well, you know, I advertised on Facebook, people in the wrestling business would have laughed at you because it wasn't like it is now. But now, I mean, that's part of our advertising. You know,
sure.
We have, okay, here's the boosted Facebook post, you know, every event to get that out to people that might not know about us.
It's Saturday, this Saturday, December 15th. Doors open up at 6 o'clock for you guys. Night of Champions, the 20th anniversary. Let's go back a couple decades, man. You mentioned that, you know, the first show that you ever put together had 31 people. You know, well, the very first Night of Champions, I'm sure that's something that you'll never forget. Do you remember, like, the exact card, where it went down, all that good stuff?
Oh, man, you're really pressing me now. I know the card was in South Amherst at Sterk's Banquet Hall, which is on the property of Jamie's Flea Market. And that was actually our home for quite a while when we started out. If you asked me the exact card, I probably couldn't even tell you.
Okay. So, I mean, you were telling us off air, 38 individuals are going to be involved in some form or fashion. And it's crazy to find out just how these things evolve over time.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last 20 years, how exactly has this evolved, and in what way that it's evolved has really kind of surprised you the most? I think Steve kind of hit on that with the development of social media to help put the word out there. And that's kind of helped interact with the crowds and things like that, not just to promote it. But, you know, I think in order to connect the dots to get the fans familiar with the personalities and the talent, how exactly has this thing evolved over the last 20 years?
I mean, definitely I would put social media probably highest on the list. But the other thing, too, is just kind of how the view of wrestling has changed. When that boom around 98, 99, 2000 started, that's when you had more people taking note of wrestling, because it was to the point, I would say it was overexposed at that point, because you could probably turn on a TV any night of the week and watch a wrestling program then, you know. And to where we are now, where you have wrestlers who are politicians, wrestlers who are known actors, sought-after actors, to where maybe 20 years ago they were just wrestlers. Well, now they're more viewed as talent of some sort and of some renown. So that's definitely a huge change. Just in 20 years ago, you had a really tough time going to a business and saying, hey, would you like to sponsor this event? Because they looked at you like you were crazy. But now, even the smallest business knows the draw that professional wrestling has. So they're more apt to put their name to something.
Go ahead. Have you ever had any wrestlers come through your local circuit that have moved their way up through the ladder into semi-pro and professional wrestling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Over the 20 years that we've been doing this, you know, we've had guys like Rhino, Shark Boy, CM Punk, Ruby Riott, EC3, Ray Rowe from the War Raiders. I mean, just you know, this is where professional wrestling starts. Not just mega championship wrestling, but on this level, this is where wrestlers get their start. You know, and you could probably pinpoint places in every state where people have come from, and this is where they've started. It's not until recently where the WWE has their own training center, where they start people from the ground up. They say, you know, we want you, 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 and you. That's not the way it used to be. You had to find a place to get trained at and pay your dues and log your miles on the road and take your opportunities as they came. And it's just, you guys got me thinking about this, how much this has changed. Because again, back in the day, if you wanted to get noticed, you were sending your VHS tapes out to promoters, like, here are my matches. You know, now it's like, you know, good day, Mr. Promoter, here's a YouTube link to my match. Boom, instantaneous again.
Yeah, you're not spending the postage, all that good stuff. No. I mean, they're spending the money for the production to put that tape together.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
That part most definitely has wildly changed. Again, Jeff Traxler with Mega Championship Wrestling joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. This Saturday, the 20th anniversary of a Night of Champions. Going to be really awesome. St. John's Gym, doors open at 6 o'clock. And one of my favorite things about having you on, I know the Mega Mafia is always locked in, and
absolutely,
they're ready to rock and roll. And we'll give the Mega Mafia a chance to call in a little bit here. But
all right,
a lot of other topics I want to cover here. You know, 38 different individuals are part of this card. I know you have a brothers versus brothers match. Mm-hmm. What other matches are involved here? Who's on this card?
Okay. Well, we have Jackson Stone will be defending the Mega title against Derek Direction. Zoe Sky defends the Fighting Spirit title against four other wrestlers. That was the five-way match we talked about earlier off the air. You mentioned the brothers match. Otis Koger and Atticus Koger are going one-on-one. That is, we're going to get a little bit wild with that one, but this is the match they requested. They want a fans bring the weapons match for that. So we're gonna mediate that at the door, as we don't want people to get too crazy. But you know, they that's what they want. We have Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz from the Rascals from Impact Wrestling. They just debuted there a couple weeks ago, but those guys have been with us for a few years now. And first time for us, a WWE Hall of Famer will be on the show. Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express will be on this event. So that's for me. I think I told you that last time I was here that we were working on that. That's for me. Ricky and Robert were always in my top five when I was growing up watching wrestling. And at 60-some years old, Ricky Morton can still do a Hurricanranas and fly off the top rope and everything. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so that's for me, though, for my 20th anniversary present.
So how did you line that up? Because if with the wrestling world, there's this web.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you've been doing it for a while, and again, I mean, this has been around for two decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody
exactly
else. So
right.
How did you connect
exactly
those dots?
Exactly right. In this case, we have had the opportunity to have Chase Owens on several of our shows. And for you guys not familiar, he's part of the Bullet Club in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And actually, Ricky trained Chase Owens. So we were going through some things here, and we actually had initially had Chase booked for this event. And we said, was Ricky available? Yeah, Ricky's available. He'll come out with fantastic. Well, since then, Chase has got to call for another tour of Japan. So unfortunately, he won't be there, but Ricky will be there.
Very cool stuff. Now, I want to go back to the fans bring weapons match.
Okay.
You mentioned you guys have to mediate that
absolutely
at the door.
Absolutely.
So for those who heard that, you got really excited, and they're probably wondering, okay, if they're going to mediate that at the door, what are the restrictions?
Please don't bring anything glass. I know probably some of you all have seen the craziness with light tubes and stuff like that. That's a big no. I don't know if I need to say this or not. Leave the guns and knives
yes
at home.
But
just in case, it's not those kind of weapons. But you know, if you wanna, you know, bring your old PS3. You know, if you want to bring
an old crutch,
anything like that. I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff people have brought in. So I mean, you know, clear out your garage, bring those, and they may get used. I don't know.
Okay. See, I like that, though, because there's some fan interaction there.
Absolutely.
And that's all part of the intimacy with the show like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were throwing some numbers at us earlier about the size of the crowds that you guys get,
mm-hmm,
which I think are perfect-sized crowds because you don't get lost in the nosebleeds.
Right.
Yet there's still a pretty hefty chunk of people that are there to see that show, and they can interact with that show, and that's part
mm-hmm
of what you guys do, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about some of the highlights.
Okay.
Over the last 20 years, you guys have been doing this, and I'm sure there are a lot of these. But when you think about the 20 years that this event has been going on,
mm-hmm,
I would hate to narrow it down to like the top three. Let's open it up to like maybe the top five. I mean, if you're to sit there and think about maybe the top five moments, the top five highlights that have really stood out to you.
Top five highlights. Well, that's a tough one. I would probably say definitely the women's TLC match that we had a few years ago. That opened up a lot of doors for the women that were in that match. And one thing that we always try to do is our ladies are on the same level as our men when they wrestle. They wrestle each other, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your gender is. If you're in the wrestling ring, you're a wrestler, and that's period. That's it. And people thought we were crazy because we said this is the main event of one of our Night of Champions. You can't put women in the main event, you know, of this show. Yes, we can, and it was one of our bigger shows. Another one probably was having Rhino on the event. He's become since then he's back to the WWE, but he's actually from the Michigan area. So he was someone that we could have come in and have our crowd be able to meet, and that's like what you were touching on. Like they don't have to wait in line for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to meet a wrestler. You know, they can go up and they can have a conversation with him, and that was a cool thing for us to do. Man, you're really making it tough for me to narrow it down, though. But definitely those two stand out in my mind for sure.
Understood. Like, I've heard a lot of that about Rhino. I've mm-hmm. not really heard a bad story about
no,
him.
No, never,
and
never.
Look, I mean, as long as you've been around the wrestling business, you don't always get that. Sometimes get guys that don't want to cooperate. They don't want to play nice.
That's for sure.
But I've never heard a bad thing about Rhino. No. I've only heard good things about how easy he is to deal with and how much he thoroughly enjoys that interaction with the crowd, regardless mm-hmm. of how big or how small the crowd might be. But, again, this Saturday, 20th anniversary, Night of Champions. And, look, I wanted to hit on one more thing here just because I thought it was really cool. And I know we're not 100% sure what to expect with this, but it's a great cause. Wrestling figures are going to be brought to the event. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the area of $600 have been raised for this. And so this gentleman named Ben Center mm-hmm. has been making the rounds on social media for many, many years, man. I don't want to say I had $600 worth, but I had a lot of wrestling figures growing up, and I love those things. Now, for those that aren't familiar with what he's done, mm-hmm. he's mentioned that he's going to bring this to the event on Saturday.
Yes.
And how does this process work? He's put together a bunch of old wrestling figures, and somehow he's raised a lot of money?
Well, what's going on is we're doing a Toys for Tots collection in this event. So it doesn't have to be wrestling figures. Whatever you want to bring, just bring a new unwrapped toy to donate, and we'll get them back to Toys for Tots. But Ben found us on social media. I told you guys this. I've never met him. I don't know the man, but he found us on social media, and he said, "I bought my tickets. This is the first show of yours that I'm coming to, and here's this thing I do." Okay, and he's put together a GoFundMe, and he's raised $600 that he plans to take and buy $600 worth of wrestling figures to donate to this event.
Very cool.
So, right out of the box there, I do this real quick in my head. That's got to be around 50 or 60 wrestling figures right there that some kids are going to get for Christmas. So, I can't take credit for any of that, but we're just fortunate that he found us and that he decided that he's going to bring it to our event. So,
very nice. So, on Saturday, mm-hmm. we're asking that you bring some donations for Toys for Tots
mm-hmm.
and a safe weapon, or safe enough weapon to use in that fans use weapons match, right?
Right, right.
All right. So don't come empty-handed on Saturday night. Should be a heck of a lot of fun. So doors open at 6. When's the opening bell?
We're going to get right into everything probably about 10 after 6. We'll have a couple pre-show matches, and we also have our version of the Hall of Fame, which we call the Ring of Respect, so we'll be inducting someone into that this year. And then hopefully we will get on to the main show at 7 o'clock.
Okay, very awesome stuff. So general admission tickets, $10 in advance, $15 day of the show, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Well, for those of you who are out there listening right now, hoping that maybe, just maybe, there might be an opportunity, Jeff Traxler is a nice guy. He's a very giving individual. You brought some tickets today.
I did.
How many?
Why don't we give away, let's do two sets of two.
All right, two sets of two. And if your fingers are quick, you can dial 440-322-0930. We'll take the first caller. Again, 440-322-0930. Jeff, thanks for coming on, man. This
Thank
is a lot
you.
Of fun.
Appreciate it.